Radio Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream. But she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, it's gonna be a party. Out of town about half a mile. Four wheel drives and big mud tires. Musket down.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Senate lawmakers passing a reauthorization bill focused on air travel safety. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
This is a bipartisan bill that is designed to improve air safety and also customer service for travelers. So it does include provisions that would require airlines to pay a refund to customers for flight delays, allows families to sit together for no additional fees. It would hire and train up to 3,000 new air traffic controllers, requires the FAA to use new technology designed to prevent collisions between planes on runways.
The House takes up the bill next. Today, the UN General Assembly voted to grant new rights and privileges to Palestine and urged the Security Council to make Palestine a UN member. It comes as Israel moves forward with military operations in Rafah to fight Hamas. Gaza's southernmost city is also the last refuge for more than a million Palestinians. The hush money trial of Donald Trump continuing today. Prosecutors say former Trump fixer Michael Cohen will testify Monday. This is ABC News. A toddler in the UK now able to hear and giving hope to others after undergoing an experimental procedure.
18-month-old Opal Sandy was given an infusion of gene therapy into her right ear, which replaces the DNA that causes her type of inherited deafness. Doctors hope Opal's success can lead to gene therapy for more common types of hearing loss.
We're not delivering a large dose of gene therapy to the rest of the body, so it means that we see fewer side effects.
Within 4 weeks of the surgery, Opal responded to sound.
Can I have a kiss? Oh, good girl.
6 months in, she can hear soft noises, even whispering.
ABC's Andrea Fujii. Confederate names seem to be making a comeback in Virginia. School board members in Shenandoah County approving a proposal that will restore the names of Confederate military leaders to two public schools. The reverses a 2020 decision following the killing of George Floyd, which fueled a national racial reckoning. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Biana's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A man is charged in a fatal hit-and-run on Milwaukee's South Side last weekend. 33-year-old Luis Perez Garcia is accused of hitting and killing 39-year-old Maykal Gutierrez and 41-year-old Osberto Gutierrez. According to a criminal complaint, the brothers were standing near a parked car early Sunday morning when they and the car were allegedly hit by Perez Garcia's vehicle. The complaint states Perez Garcia told police he was driving home from a bar at the time of the crash. It adds that Wisconsin Department of Transportation records show that Perez Garcia was never issued a driver's license. He faces up to 62 years in prison if he's convicted on all counts. A 5-month-old girl has died after being run over by a vehicle in Shawano County. The sheriff's office there says the incident happened Wednesday evening in Bondwell. Paramedics who arrived at the scene began life-saving measures on the infant before she was flown to a Green Bay area hospital where she died. Deputies say the girl's parents and the person driving the vehicle cooperated with authorities. Investigation into the incident is ongoing. In the face of pro-Palestinian protests, this semester has been far from easy for Jewish students on the UW-Madison campus. UW Law School student Samantha Crane says it's unlike anything she's ever experienced.
Being Jewish, obviously, this is something like I've never seen before, never experienced before on campus. Obviously, anti-Semitism is an age-old problem, has existed for a long time, but it's never been so up close, up front, in my face like it's been this year.
Crane says it's her view that university officials are placating protesters and are nervous about removing the campus encampment despite ordering it removed. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Clouds are increasing this afternoon as a quick system strikes early this evening, bringing showers and a few claps of thunder. It'll quickly push on out, clearing our skies. And the northern lights are expected to dance overnight. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 67 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
On Haney, directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now welcome the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right. Test. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Test 1, 2. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You sound fantastic.
Good. Do we sound better than yesterday afternoon at the start of the show?
Well, now, see that there's a little bit that goes into that because you were in very exciting locale.
Oh, yeah.
So even very if much. There are some maybe little technical deficiencies here and there.
Yes.
Super exciting. Super great stuff yesterday, man.
Yeah. It was absolutely a lot of fun. You helped us. What am I saying? You got the show started for us yesterday afternoon.
Not by choice.
Yeah, right.
Minding my own business.
Got the show started, and then we got back to the conversation that was taking place down there on the G Bar C Ranch. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And we were just outside of Era, Texas, North Texas, north of Dallas.
ERA, right?
ERA, uh-huh. Exactly. And a great day taking a look at what's going on down there. If you didn't get a chance to hear those conversations yesterday, you need to go to agritalk.com or your podcast platform and listen to those shows from yesterday.
Go on. Well, I was just going to say something really interesting that sort of occurred to me, and you mentioned it in an email here. But we're talking about sustainability, and sometimes people bristle at that word. Okay, whatever. You weren't necessarily going down there to see what new things they were doing. These are things they've been doing all along.
Yeah.
And finally, the terminology, we're going to call that sustainability. They've been doing this ever since, Chip.
Generations.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking 5 generations of farmers, of ranchers, were on the ranch tour yesterday. Mm-hmm. I said that wrong. 5th generation farmers and ranchers were on that ranch tour yesterday. Their operations have been sustainable for a long, long time. Yep. Doesn't stop them from showing up at a sustainability tour on a ranch to find out what other people are doing and to learn from other ranchers and to learn what they can do to take it to the next level in their operation. They've all got a great story to tell.
They do. Yep.
Yeah, they've all got a great story to tell. It's just a question of telling it and, yeah, and documenting that story. So,
well, good word. Good job spreading the word there, buddy.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Thank you. Okay, let's get to the news. What do you got, man?
I got the weather. Lines of showers and thunderstorms will continue for the southeast through today. Some of the storms may be severe with hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes. For the mid-Atlantic region and northeast, unsettled and cooler weather pattern through the weekend. For Hawaii, a nearby system will focus showers and thunderstorms containing heavy rainfall and possible flooding. Snow lingers for the Rockies. You may be already aware, but USDA will update its old crop usage forecasts in the supply and demand report at 11 a.m. Central Time this morning. USDA is expected to project new crop ending stocks will rise sharply from the current marketing year for corn, beans, wheat, and cotton. USDA will also issue the first winter wheat production estimates just a little less than an hour now, Chip.
Yeah, Ben Brown from the University of Missouri will be with us this afternoon to break down the numbers and add some perspective.
He's great. Yep. China's Ag Ministry forecasts the country will import far less corn, beans, and cotton in 24-25 than the current marketing year. The ministry cited an expected increase in domestic corn production and reduced feed demand from the hog industry for the declines in corn and soybean imports. Summertime E15 waivers and the EPA's permanent okie-dokie for year-round E15 in 8 Midwest states next year came up at a recent Senate Environment and Public Works hearing. EPA Chief Michael Regan recounted the agency's 3 summers of E15 waivers in Midwest states and permanent summertime sales starting next year. He had this to say.
And for fiscal years 2025 and beyond, those waivers will be permanent for those states to use E15 throughout the summers. So that gives those 8 states a level of certainty for future investments to up that production of biofuels so that we can continue to keep our prices low but be globally competitive.
So in the near term, uncertain chip on E15 for the summertime driving. We still need that waiver, yep. But 2025, Regan says it's going to be a different deal.
Yeah. Do you remember when we made the transition from it's cheaper, use higher blends of ethanol to it's an environmental benefit to use higher blends? Yep. Have you noticed what we're back to?
Yep.
It's back to a price issue.
Back to the pocketbook.
Yep, absolutely. That's where they are focused.
Well, Chip, the Farm Credit Administration released results from the 2022 survey of agriculture, where California had the largest ag sales at $59 billion. Cattle and calves remained the top commodity produced nationwide, bringing in $89
billion. $89 billion.
Some trends continue in U.S. ag that previous censuses have revealed. They include a gradual decline in the number of producers, a loss of farmland, and increase in the average age of farmers. According to the census, family-held farms in America represented 90.4% of total farms, down just a little from 2017 when the figure was 90.8%. Chip, let's leave it there.
Yeah, I realize those trends might be going in the wrong direction in a lot of people's opinions, but those are the trends that have been in place for decades.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Davis. Appreciate it. Let's bring in Jennifer Shike, editor at Farm Journal's Bork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. How are you?
Jennifer, I'm good. And this story that you wrote about Alma Valdez is absolutely outstanding. It is an item that anybody that is caring for animals in livestock production, they need to read this story.
Well, thank you. It's a story that sure gets me excited because there are so many good things happening in our barns. But, you know, it's hard to let people know about that because of biosecurity and just the way our barns are set up. They don't always look as welcoming on the outside as they are on the inside. And this barn is so much fun. Like, you walk in that barn and you hear laughter. People are working, getting things done. But it's all because of leadership from a really amazing young lady who has worked her way up from power washing to now, you know, managing and really just changing the culture and the productivity at Johnson Farm.
You're absolutely right in the culture that you just mentioned. She's not just changing the culture, she's setting the culture.
Yes.
Of animal care in those buildings and leading by example. It's a fantastic story.
Well, I, you know, it's such a great reminder that part of it is in leadership is caring for the pigs and showing them the right ways to do things and setting a standard that's high. But it's also caring for the people and making sure that your employees have their needs met, too. And she does all of that.
Yeah, she really does.
A lot of good tips there to read.
There really is some great tips in this article. Porkbusiness.com. is where you want to go to see this article that Jennifer Shike, editor of Farm Journal's Pork, wrote. Thanks, Jennifer. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. We got the free-for-all coming up next. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me here on AgriTalk.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Lloyd Davis. I didn't mention this earlier.
Yeah.
But Big Apple Joe Stackler got us on the air yesterday down in Texas. Out at the ranch. Got us on the air, and we had some storms that we had to deal with, but we made it through and got the information sent all the way back from North Texas to South Bend. So
yep.
Yeah.
When
big
a
thanks
when
to
a
Big Apple.
When a Texas sized thunderstorm rolls through, even momentarily, it takes a pro. You know, you gotta know what to do.
That's
and Joe knows what to do.
Yep. What Joe did was look at me like, what am I supposed to do about it?
Attaboy, Joe. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
By the way, here's something I haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
Crack of the bat and the Royals best the Angels 10-4. That puts the Royals at 23-16. I'm looking at the Cubs' current win-loss record.
It's only
22-16 compared to the Kansas City Royals 23-16. Huh?
Boy, things are really happening now. But man, oh man, they're both. I mean, I expected the Cubs to play well.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect them to play as well as they are, and I sure did not expect the Royals to play as well as they are. Let's get these other baseball fans in.
Bring
Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Well, I'm in a beautiful St. Louis suburb, home for a family wedding. I met my sister's Pat, had a good party last night at a beautiful home, so I'm raring to go, and my Nationals are only one game under 500.
Under 500, yeah. Yeah, that's the operative operative level right there, no doubt. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How you doing, man?
I didn't want to talk about baseball, Chip.
Why not? What's wrong?
Well, my Blue Jays are 17-20 and last in the division in the very tough AL East. But a lot of times it's interesting when the experts are like, "Here's the favorite team," and everybody jumps on like a. People were saying the Royals would be better this year based on their offseason, and they are pulling through. So, yeah. Which is good after a few terrible years.
Well, you wouldn't even have to change colors, Sean, to come over to the Royals. Just saying.
They wear the powder blues, too. So, yeah,
that's right.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's
point.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the Royals being better than what they were a year ago does not mean good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Easy now.
And they are playing good ball. There's no doubt. No doubt. So,
is there a picture of Big Apple Joe on horseback at this ranch remote that happened yesterday? That
what?
I would love to see that.
I want to see that too.
No, I don't think that there's going to be any forthcoming pictures of Big Apple Joe on horseback. Not that I'm aware of. He might have gone, slipped off and done something between shows. I don't know.
I couldn't go down because there's a weight limit.
Oh, is that it? Jeez. I think we're fine. I think you're fine.
We'll get Jim a Surrey. What he needs is a Surrey with a fringe on top. That's more fitting for Jim anyway, right? A Surrey?
That's right. Yep. It's all about the comfort.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Let's get to it, Jim. Farm bill status. Did meetings between GT and the Senate leadership that were supposed to happen?
No, because the House left a day earlier than they expected. So they'll soon meet. And a little breaking news here. We're going to get a flurry of a detailed summary sometime probably this weekend now from the House Ag Committee. I think it could total almost 40 pages from what I've been told, Jeff.
Okay. Detailed summaries. What exactly are you talking about when you say a detailed summary of all the different titles in the Farm Bill? What is that it?
Absolutely. In English, not in legislative language. And if my sources are correct, and we've been saying this now for weeks, it will clearly give momentum to a vote, because any farm state lawmaker who votes against this likely coming House Ag Bill, I want to know the reasons why. Okay. Because for Title I safety net, I think they pulled out all the stops that they possibly could, with an increase in reference prices of from 10% to 20%. Variable depending on the crop. And the Senate version, if you recall, Stabenow said 5% for some key southern crops. That alone right there, but there's flexibility on crop insurance, et cetera. I'm starting to move my possibility up that if we don't have a vote, this thing could still get through this year.
Yeah, and when we think about the farm bill and safety nets. I heard Dr. Jim Minter talking about the ag barometer here on the show, and you see the plunge lower from in sentiment in the latest edition of it. That shows you how it reinforces again, reminds everybody, when things were lofty, It was like, yeah, whatever. But when we see the kind of sentiment we see right now, which is in negative territory, I believe it kind of reinforces for people to get a little bit more urgent on this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And this is something that probably 12 months ago, or in that range, Jim was saying, listen, in a year from now, when things aren't as rosy on the revenue side, the urgency level to get something done is going to be going up. Well, here we are. Here we are, it does seem to be happening. Jim, the summaries that are coming, does that mean that the CBO got back to Chairman Thompson with some scoring of what these titles are going to cost?
They must have, because they were comfortable in coming out with this over the weekend. And I don't know whether USDA has totally signed off on some technical analysis things, but on the scoring, I think that's even going to be more important on the Senate side, because sources are telling me they want to see how whether or not it's budget neutral, or some people are saying the Senate Farm Bill could spend up to $20 billion more than the Farm Bill budget baseline of $1.51 trillion, by the way, over 10 years. And you'll recall that Stabenow has previously said she got $5 billion additional dollars for the spending. If that 20 is correct, where's the other money coming from? Was it shifting to other areas? So that's going to make the budget scoring very, very revealing, Jim.
Jim, there are Republican members of the Senate Ag Committee that didn't know where the original $5 billion that she was talking about came from.
Yes, agreed. So we're going to see, CBO is going to have to detail where that money is coming from. So we're going to see if that $20 billion conjecture is correct, and two, further details on where that $5 billion is coming from, because the ranking member, the Republican on the Senate Finance Committee, Crapo, has indicated he's not aware of anything being blessed by them.
Right. We had a conversation with Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas, who is on the Senate Ag Committee, early this week. I get the impression that he is much more interested in, and this falls on party lines, I get it, but he is much more interested in what he described as the farmer-friendly bill out of the House, rather than what he called the debt on arrival Stabenow framework. Is it seriously debt on arrival, or is it going to be part of the negotiation?
Well, part of it will be negotiation, it's about as close to, let's put it this way, a blue line is there. It's a death call. The death is rattling there, okay?
Okay.
So on the Senate side. But I I'm trying to be as fair. I've seen enough summaries of both bills, and I am pleasantly surprised on how farmer-friendly this coming House bill is. So we're going to see. Hopefully over the weekend, and then he'll release the text shortly before the markup on May the 23rd, because you have to have legislative language. But these summaries definitely will help if they're almost 40 pages.
And Jim, do you think the farmer friendly notion of this does it extinguish or attempt to lessen the north south kind of divide that you've been talking about?
I don't think so, because you've got a Farm Doc article. Now, they tend to be, of course, Midwest biased, in my judgment, in their analysis. But they've got an item out just looking at the 5% increase in southern crops, as they call them. And they're saying it'll further distort acres. So that tells you right there. Yeah, you know, the spin you're going to see. But there's all sorts of reasons why the southern crops need a higher percentage. You don't have the number of acres. They have the input cost, et cetera, et cetera, yada yada. But and to summarize why you need to build this year, Chip, real briefly, you had a Reuters story on ag equipment sales plummeting.
Ag equipment sales are plummeting. Yes. Okay, we're going to keep the free for all going next here on AgriTalk.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady joins us right now. Beege, we're a half hour away from USDA's first official look at the 2024-25 marketing year.
Get ready to take your corn yields to the max with MX Series Corn by Stein. These one-of-a-kind hybrids are derived from the latest, most superior corn genetics from one of the industry's largest corn breeding programs. MX Series Corn by Stein features short-stature plants with medium to high ear placement, enabling excellent performance in high population environments, ease of harvest, and strong standability. Learn more about our time-tested short-stature corn products at steinseed.com.
Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wernickens. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk up 9 to 20.45, July down 5 to 19.90, August down 7 to 19.56, September down 10 at 19.50. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are moving mostly higher, even though the WASD report was relatively mixed for the cattle and beef markets, as the beef production was increased for 2024 as heavier carcass weights and faster chain speeds are leading to greater production totals. But again, the cattle complex for live cattle continues to move mostly higher. Now, feeder cattle, though, they're moving up mostly lower, even though the cash cattle prices were steady to a dollar higher. The feeder cattle complex continues to move mostly lower. Hog markets, though, they are moving mostly higher as the pork cutout values are higher. That's helping to support the markets. Next week, it looks like the market will put pressure again as the WASD report continued to share some demand concerns that the trade's been worried about, but those higher pork cutout values helping today. June live cattle up 22 cents to 176.17. May feeder cattle down 50 cents to 238.15. And June hogs up $1.20 to 98.92. Meanwhile, Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets higher, up 9 1/4 to 489 1/4 in the new crop. New crop beans up 4 to 1204 1/2. And July wheat up 22 1/2 to 660. Grain markets really being pulled ahead by the wheat markets with the weather issues in Russia.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Jeff Flory. We've got the free-for-all going here today with Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Real Agriculture Sean Haney, and AgriTalk News Anchor, Landowner Editor, and the host of the Grow Getters Podcast, Davis Michelson.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
Grow Getters on YouTube. Grow Getters. Grow Getters.
It was a heck of a debut that you had out there this week.
It really was. People tuned in. I think people like it.
Good.
Yeah. It's informative. Good. It's fun, you know?
Right. Right.
I love it.
Well, mm-hmm. For those that didn't hear earlier this week,
Yeah.
What exactly are you doing with the Girl Getters?
We're on YouTube. Anywhere you get podcasts, you can get audio of it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm talking with farm folks who are looking for extra ways to utilize their operation to make some extra money. They're growing corn and beans. They're doing a thing. They got a dairy, whatever, you know. Yep. But they're, you know, for example, the first episode here, the Painter Sisters, Painterland Farms in Pennsylvania, they're making yogurt. They got a very special kind of thing with the yogurt. The next edition involves a farmer from Nebraska who is using other farmers' corn. You can send him your corn, and he'll make it into delicious whiskey.
He'll make.
I'm just going to leave that tease right there.
And then send it back to you.
And he'll send it back to you. You can put Grandpa's picture on the label, whatever you want to do.
Fantastic.
That's a really cool one. I'm anxious to bring that story before people, too.
Flyover? So is that what it is?
Free samples, Davis?
Flyover whiskey. Free samples, you betcha, you betcha. I'm sorry, we don't ship to St. Louis, though. You're out of luck for today.
It's a way to handle that right there. All right, let's get
Girl
back
Getters
to the free
podcast. Yeah, check it out.
Girl Getters podcast. Let's get back to the free-for-all here. Taylor Green, Marsha Taylor Green, Jim, brought the effort to vacate the speaker's position on the House. It was pretty easily defeated, wasn't it?
Yeah, you had 11, I think 11 or 12 Republicans joined her, a little bit more than there should have been. But some of them voted in her favor, Chip, just to further the debate. They thought there'd be a floor debate, but there wasn't. It shows that the Democrats definitely helped more votes against her than Republicans, but it shows that they need a coalition government, and that's basically what this is. And that's not a weakness, in my judgment.
Right. Right. Okay.
Is it dead now? Like, can we put all this to rest?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. No, we can't?
No. It'll come back later.
So, what's the motivation here? Is she, you know, part of one of her demands is relative to some of the court cases against President Trump, former President Trump. Is she vying for the VP spot, or are these actions this week eliminating her?
Well, the first one, yes. And even if she is vying, which I don't think she is, she wouldn't get it. Okay.
The VP spot, you mean?
Yes. And Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, Republican from Louisiana, said he called it personality politics, and that's all. And that's what it is. He nailed it.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. We'll have to continue to watch that develop. Another story that we are continuing to watch develop are these electronic ear tags. I want to talk about that because there's an incredible difference of opinion that is happening out there on social media and the different opinions that I'm looking at out there. And I want to start with the Canadian cattlemen, because Haney, Canadian cattlemen generally are trying to figure out what the big fuss is all about, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a little bit of head scratching, and I have, you know, I've talked to some U.S. ranchers that are pushing back hard against you know, this kind of idea of traceability. Canada's actually had full traceability with tags going from ranch to slaughter for 20. We're actually this year it's 25 years,
man,
and so it's a long time. It was one of the reasons why Canada was able to get some ground into China, maybe a little bit faster than the U.S. at the time. It's, you know, and those tags have to be in place before the cattle leaves a ranch. So that can happen at branding or at the time they leave, but they must be. And those tags are the rancher's cost as well. So I hate to say I don't know what all the fuss is about, but I also understand the concerns.
Some U.S. cattlemen think that if we start with the EID tags now, it's ultimately going to lead to mandates on how those cattle are managed, or it's going to lead on a per cow tax on carbon and GHG emissions. It will ultimately lead to government control of their cattle herd or taxation, one of the two.
Yeah, and that has not been the experience in Canada. But I would say that, hey, it's not perfect. Like, some of those same concerns exist here. I think that comes down to not an ear tag issue. That comes down to just overall distrust of government, period. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that, hey, yep. And legitimate. Like, I'm not poo-pooing at all.
Exactly.
But that,
yes.
That has not been the experience. That has not happened after 25 years in Canada. If you're worried about that, Chip, those things could happen ear tag or not.
Right.
Right. The ear tag is
Yeah, that's exactly right, Sean. And here's the deal. I can read the opinion from cattlemen out there on social media, and I see someone that says, listen, we need to move quicker to these electronic IDs because look what's happening with H5N1 and the bovines. We need to have the traceability so that we can get back and figure out exactly where that animal comes from. If it shows up in a beef cow. On the other hand, I certainly get the concerns.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to the taxation. I get it. I get both arguments. I don't know what the middle ground is on this.
Yeah. And it would probably push it over the edge easier if you had a major customer, like, let's just like South Korea or Japan. Say, hey, we require this. We want this.
Yeah.
Or we're
yeah.
going to give preference to countries that have it. Yep. You know, the one advantage here the U.S. has to not have to do it is the size. The scale and the scope of the U.S. cattle industry allows you to get away with not having to do some of the things like smaller countries have to do to sort of leverage themselves in the trade market. But maybe it's time, or you know, if there's enough pushback from the industry, it may not happen.
Right. You know, and the diversity of cattle herds. I'm not talking about the breeds. I'm talking about the ownership. I don't know if there is anything on size that is splitting opinions out there. But I do know that those that would like to see the electronic IDs in place are very concerned about that smaller producer out there. How are they going to get word to the guy that's got 10, 20, or 30 cows and make sure that they are following all of the rules and regs, whether it be on this, you know, the steel tag, the metal tag, the bangs tag, or the electronic tag? Well, you know, they got the word on the steel tag. They ought to be able to get them word on the electronic tags as well. I don't know.
Chip.
Yeah.
You mentioned this morning heading up to the show while we're in the cattle zone here. I've got just a quick thing here. We've got USDA reported 4 new incidents of the H5N1 virus in dairy cattle in Michigan, 1 in Colorado. This as of May 8th. Virus now detected in dairy herds in 9 states here in America.
Okay, so I had thought that the H5N1 news and bovines had gone quiet, but it's not quiet, is it?
Well, this is what I've found. It has certainly gotten quieter.
Okay.
But we're up to 9 states now.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the mainstreams moved on to a few other issues. It doesn't have the new sizzle like it did 2 weeks ago.
It has, but I saw a report on it this week on Fox Business, and H5N1 not only in bovines but in human, and some of the gory details of what at least one person was experiencing that was confirmed with H5N1.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nasty.
It's no fun. Boy, you got that right. So let's be aware of that. Be aware of that. And talking about cattle and social media, have you guys been following at Scott Westacre and number 88?
No.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Is number 88 still expecting?
Number 88 is still expecting. She has been big as a freaking tank for a month. And she is out there waddling around. Red Angus cow. They've been waiting for her to have this calf or calves forever. And the following that she has developed and that Clay Scott at Scott Westacre is providing and giving consumers a glimpse into the life of a ranch out, and I think it's Western Kansas. It's pretty doggone cool. Good on you, Scott. It is really well. We're hoping the best for number 88. We want to see those calves born happy and healthy, and get them on the ground and put them out there for the world to see. Really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. All right, we're going to finish up the free for all next here on AgriTalk.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Roots. We plant them. We feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
NTech is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTech grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Mark Foster is the brand leader for Zalo at AmVac. Mark, why Zalo? What weed control problem is Zalo designed to address?
Zalo performs both broadleaf and grass weed control in broad spectrum means to help growers in glufosinate-tolerant canola, cotton, and soybeans options for weed control necessary on their farms. Zalo is a two mode of action product on grasses and a single mode of action on broadleaves. This allows growers confidence to spray both their grasses and broadleaves with great efficacy, but in addition, for stewardship reasons and resistance management, they get a second mode of action to control their grasses.
All right. So you've done some testing of the product. What have the test results shown you?
We're extremely satisfied with the testing results of Zalo. Over our trial data, we're showing a 2 percentage point increase on broadleaf control, but more importantly, a 9% improvement over grass control when utilizing comparisons to Liberty 280 SL on its own.
Excellent. So give us a little bit of detail. Which fields are prime candidates for Zalo and how do you use it?
So Zalo can be used up to 2 times in crop where growers can really see what weeds they have coming and target their timing of weed control to the weed size that they're seeing within their fields. Zalo should be applied at 22 to 29 fluid ounces for canola, while it can be applied from 32 to 43 fluid ounces in cotton and soybeans.
Fantastic. Okay, so where can listeners go to get more information on Zalo?
Growers can go to amvac.com to find more information. Zalo is broadly available at local ag chem retails across the U.S.
That's excellent, Mark. Thank you so much. That is Mark Foster. He is the brand leader for Zalo at AMVAC.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down.
But you're still thinking.
But you're still thinking.
We're here all day. Actually, my coffee cup is empty right now. Hey, I did. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm gonna hop in really quick here. Talking about number 88, big as a tank. When's she gonna go? The Guinness Book of World Records says the most live births for a cow in a single delivery.
Yeah.
Would you care to guess?
Oh, four quads. Boop, boop, boop.
Five calves. They call them quins.
Quins.
Born in 2005 at the Santa Clara Ranch in Reynosa, Tamaulipas in Mexico.
That's like five a calves. Whole litter of baby calves right
I
there.
I wonder, 88 might be going for the record. Six calves.
She's large.
That might be what she's doing.
She is large. She is large. But I will say this, Clay, rest assured, we are not here to offer any advice on what you should be doing to make sure that 88 has those calves healthy. He's got plenty of people giving him advice.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm
on
sure.
Exactly what down. He should be doing to make sure that that cow is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. 88's going to do what she darn well pleases.
That's right.
Just deal with it.
And I think Clay's got it under control.
I would imagine.
It's too funny. Okay. Okay. Wiesmeyer, am I reading the news wrong, or did President Biden threaten to cut off supplies of military arms to Israel?
You read it correctly. Sad day. Yeah.
Dude!
He's embargoing that right at the key time at which they want to finish, by the way, finish the prior Hamas invasion, death knell for way too many Israelis. It's just sad.
This is
and
hard
it
to
followed
watch.
A very, to be fair, however, and for perspective, it followed a very good pro-Israel speech that Biden gave earlier this week in Washington. So talk about trying to have it both ways and not getting any.
Yeah, and Netanyahu's got he's got some real, some issues to deal with here in the sense that can't afford to cut off his biggest ally, the U.S., if Biden does follow through with that threat. But at the same time, he's got a pretty militant right flank, from what I've been reading, that he is trying to appease to make sure to keep his government afloat and not have them fall during this time of crisis. So. Yeah, it's I'm sure that his head sort of dropped when he heard that from President Biden.
Yeah.
Well, and does aid to Gaza continue?
Well, yeah, you got to fund both sides.
Yes. Yeah, they're building. They're finishing that port. You know that. Bridgeway. Yeah.
This I don't like at all.
Yeah, they're funding both sides.
It falls under bewildering that most things in America are not right now. So it's just you scratch your head.
And as I understand it, these are precision bombs that the president has included in this package that he's not going to send. What's the alternative? Non-precision bombs?
I understand it. The bombs are going, just not the guidance.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Right.
We're going to minimize civilian casualties by making it less precise.
Yeah, it's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
I was in downtown Vancouver earlier this week, and I was sitting in my hotel room on Tuesday night. And all of a sudden I could hear like this drum beating and this loud megaphone. And I looked out onto the street, and it was a pro-Palestinian rally. that was going through the downtown. It was peaceful. But yeah, it was, they made a pass down the street that I was sitting over top of, very loud. It was, I was on the 23rd floor and I could still hear it.
Good grief. Yeah. Okay. The Chinese U.S. relations, Jim, they thaw, they freeze, and, you know, it's a shampoo bottle, wash, rinse, and repeat on the thawing and the freezing. Right now we're cooling off those relations again, aren't we?
Oh, definitely. Tuesday, you're going to have Biden announce new hefty tariffs on some key Chinese sectors. Some people say they're cosmetic, but it'll include electric vehicles, batteries, and solar equipment. And if you don't think China's going to retaliate, you don't think otherwise. Senator Grassley is concerned about it on the ag sector.
But isn't it counter? Okay, the move on. So I get why put the tariff on Chinese EVs, because you want to create a domestic industry. But if you really, really want to push uptake of EVs in America, isn't this move counterintuitive to that? Don't you want a whole bunch of cheaper Chinese EVs coming into the country so it can make it more affordable for people? Like, this move, I get the reason, but it's actually counterintuitive to what he wants to see on the other side.
After November 5th elections, that's correct. Before, you got to be strong against China.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm, again, trying to figure it out. I think we're going to have a conversation. Big Apple Joe, I think we're having a conversation with Senator Grassley early next week, aren't we?
Yep, on Tuesday. Yes,
on Tuesday. So we will check in with Senator Grassley on the Chinese situation then, and I believe we're going to have a conversation with House Ag Chairman Thompson early next week as well. So it's we've got a lot of ground that we need to cover early next week. Jim, we got reports.
With Sean on the line, I think we have a Canadian rail strike update, don't we, Sean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so which is has a big piece to this from a U.S. perspective, too. So late on Thursday, the federal labor minister, Seamus O'Regan, he kind of made a bit of a smooth move from the government here. He asked that the Canada Industrial Relations Board look at whether this strike of both railways at the same time might have safety implications. So until this is done, until this review happens, and there's no timeline for it, word is that they cannot strike. So this is a very pro-union government, and so this is a very crafty, smart political way to kind of keep the economy rolling and push this strike back. I'm impressed.
It's interesting. So basically what they're saying is because of safety reasons, you can't strike until you remove those safety concerns.
Yeah, they got to do a full review. And like full review. Government doing a review? Oh, man. Like they don't do those things quick, Jim.
Months! They can prevent this thing from happening for months. You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much for making time for us each week on the free-for-all. We really appreciate it. Haney, thanks, man.
Hey, all the best, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Jim Wiesmeyer, thanks, buddy. Have fun with family.
See you then.
All right. That is Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. All right, come back this afternoon. Davis and I will have the details of the USDA supply and demand report, and we'll get some perspective from Ben Brown, University of Missouri, right here on AgriTalk, 206 Central.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Production of animals is filled with variation and inconsistency. At United Animal Health, we innovate animal science to impact the health of animals using the least amount of resources. Our science aims to produce greater consistency with less variation, allowing you to maximize your genetic investment. At United Animal Health, we believe you're only as good as your animals. We offer scientifically better products that are as reliable as we are. United Animal Health. Good people you can trust.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only